morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I want to also say that I appreciate being here, and I appreciate what people have shared in Brian and in his devotions. Agreed with it very much. In fact, there's part of it that I might reshare a little bit in my message. And just am thankful that God works in the way he does when we seek him, and he leads us. And a lot of times it's amazing to me in a church service how many times that God can take the people speaking and the people sharing and share along the same lines a lot of times with the Spirit moving. And I really, that's comforting to me to see that. So I want to welcome everyone here this morning. Appreciate everyone that's here. This morning I want to, my message that, is about forgiveness. And as I think of forgiveness, I was thinking of this on the way to church this morning, that if we were 100% perfect in having forgiveness in our hearts as we forgive people around us for everything that happens, if every Christian in this church was, if we had no failures when it comes to forgiving each other, I don't think we would have any problems. But that's not realistic. We're human, and we all have failings. It's hard to forgive, and many times. But forgiveness is in a lot of ways, it's a administration of Christ's love. The meaning of forgiveness is from Wikipedia. It says forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. Let go of negative emotions such as vengefulness with an increased ability to wish the offender well. Charles Bracelin wrote a book, or actually I'm not sure if he wrote this book, but he reported, and it's in the book, it's about Robert E. Lee in his last years. And he said of Robert E. Lee, Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took to him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and a trunk had been destroyed by the federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, ma'am, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustice of the past than to allow them to remain. Let bitterness take root in the poison the rest of your life." That's what Robert E. Lee said to this southern lady that was holding on to this destroyed old tree in front of her house because it reminded her of the injustice that was done. And you might be following the news recently. Over a year ago, or around a year ago, it was found out that one of the Larry Nassar, I'm not sure how you say his name, one of the leading coaches in the winter or the gymnastic Olympics, was abusing many girls and sexually abusing them. And then one of the, just yesterday I read this in a little post of Christianity Today, that one of the girls that was treated bad, she said I forgive. And she said this in a courtroom. She said it means that they asked her, what does it mean that you forgive him? And it says, she said, she must be a Christian to be able to say this. It means that I trust in God's justice and I release bitterness and anger and a desire for personal vengeance. It does not mean that I minimize or mitigate or excuse what he has done. It does not mean that I pursue justice on earth any less zealously. It simply means that I release personal vengeance against him, and I trust God's justice, whether he chooses to meet that out purely, eternally, or both in heaven on earth. But I leave it to him. And, you know, that's a testimony in our world today that someone can do that like that. And we have lots of stories like that. And I want to share a lot of those stories this morning, too. I want to inspire us to let go of our injuries and our offenses and forgive those who we feel have mistreated us. You know, in thinking about our injustice that have been meted out to us personally, and we think about them and we keep running those over in our minds and replaying them, wondering how someone could treat me so unfairly. You know, it seems like we have a right to do that, but it's not scriptural. And it will lead you down a road that you do not want to go. And I was reading a lot as I was studying how Corrie Ten Boom went through a lot of these struggles in forgiveness. She seemed to have to deal with it more. And yet, we look up to her testimony as a victorious lady who went through much and was very victorious in forgiving people. And I think she was. But as we listen to her testimony, you see that she struggled probably maybe harder than some of us do too, because maybe she had more to forgive than some of us. But she was relating how she was treated unfairly by some Christian friends that she had. And she had a hard time forgetting this. She had a hard time laying this down. And she spoke to a Lutheran pastor about this, and this pastor shared with her that, you know, you keep thinking about it, and you keep thinking about it. It's just like you're pulling on a church bell. You keep, every time you think about it, you replay it, you pull that church bell. You keep pulling the rope, and that dinging dong keeps reminding you, going back and forth. And then he said, you have to quit pulling the rope. Quit thinking about it. Quit replaying it. And it will go away eventually. After you quit pulling the rope of the bell, it will ding and dong a couple more times, several times, but it'll get slower. Eventually it goes away. And she was, her testimony was that worked. Quit thinking about it. Quit replaying it in your mind. Put it out of your mind. And that's not easy to do. I have 4 points that I want to make this morning. The first one is forgiveness is an eternal decision. The second one is talking a little bit about the restrictions of forgiveness, what restricts us from forgiving. Third one is the power to forgive. And the fourth one is the results of forgiveness. So as we look at the first point, forgiveness is an eternal decision, I would like to read from Matthew 18. You may turn there if you want to with me. Matthew 18, I'm going to read the rest of that chapter in Matthew 18. This is a familiar chapter that we all know, and it's about a parable, but it really states strongly and clearly how Jesus feels about us forgiving and being forgiven. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest of me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So as we go back to the part of this parable that Jesus brought out, where it was a certain king who was giving account, I think that this first comparison is comparing you and I's sins, you and I's debt that we owe God. God is a king. And as we bow down and we repent, he forgives us. God forgives us. And that second comparison is how we can forgive the trespasses that come from our fellow men. So, and that's you notice that what we owe the king, what we owe God, is much greater than what we can ever owe, or whatever anybody would owe us, whatever debt we would owe to each other. The comparison is very big difference in between. And so Jesus brings out with his parable, I believe, that, and he says it at the end, that if we don't forgive each other for the little things, or what we consider big things but yet are little in comparison to what God has forgiven us, if we don't keep that in our mind, then we can't be forgiven either. And we sometimes lose sight of that goal, lose sight of that. I do. I lose sight of it too much in my life. And so we see in this passage of Scripture how important it is for us to forgive those who injure us. Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer. He taught the same message. He brought it home clearly. And this passage suggests that the debt we owe Jesus compared to the debt that is owed to us by a friend or somebody that offended us in a small way, that debt is so much greater what Jesus has done for you and I. So to help us forgive more readily, we should keep that ratio in our mind all times. Jesus has forgiven a huge debt in our life compared to the debt that we will ever, to all the debt we will ever have to forgive in our life to anybody. And I'd like to remind us again as a comfort that Jesus has already forgiven us for our sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. It doesn't mean that there isn't something that we need to do. I'm just saying those sins are already forgiven if we come to Jesus. And it makes sense that Jesus would connect how we forgive our fellow brethren to how we are forgiven in our debt from Jesus. When we think of it in that light, it makes sense that Jesus makes that connection. And he keeps that connected. And I would like to raise the stakes even a little higher with this thought. Not only should we readily forgive those who have injured us, but we should also be committed to being merciful and forgiving to the very people who have offended us, regardless how bad we have been injured. You know, the devil plants in our minds, in our humanity, all the reasons why we shouldn't forgive, or we shouldn't have compassion, or we should wait till he deserves this, or whatever. And if we feel that we have been treated unfairly by our very best friend, you know, that becomes really hard to forgive. But instead, we should let it go and return love and acceptance to that person. We should have a dog's attitude. That sounds bad, but I think of our dog. We have a golden retriever. She's a puppy yet, sort of. But, you know, I instruct her and I rebuke her and I feel terribly mean what I do to her. And she loves me still. She loves me even more. She comes and once yearns for my love and accepts me, even after that. And, you know, we have a hard time doing that to our fellow brethren and our sisters and our fellow men. But forgiveness, that is reciprocating what Jesus did to us. And that's a way to love those people. I'd like to move on to the second point. What restricts us from forgiveness? And I'd like to read what Brian read this morning from Philippians. I think it was there, Philippians 2. I'm just going to read four verses there. It says, "Look not every man on his own things," excuse me, my eyes are not doing right here, "but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You might think, well, what does that have to do? But I guess I'll just say it straight. You know, I believe one of the probably the biggest thing, at least in my life, the biggest thing that gets in the way for me forgiving someone who I feel offended me or injured me is me. It's myself. I'm the guy that gets in the way. I'm the one that doesn't, I've got all these rights. I'm too important. And how could somebody treat me that unfairly like that? And so, you know, we tend to think that we should never be treated poorly. And we many times can justify unforgiveness. Choosing to forgive other people, I believe, is sometimes the hardest decision that we have to make as man in our lives. Because in our humanity, in our carnal nature, we are naturally wired to seek justice and revenge over forgiveness. But we need to think about the big picture. This is not about us. It's not about me. This is about all the people of the whole world, the whole universe. And think light of ourselves and think heavy about other people and their problems and their needs, what they're going through. Not just trying to fix people either, but forgive them. Learn to be okay. Learn to be okay being injured, recognizing that Christ humbled himself to be injured by each one of us, by so much, keeping that mindset that Christ had. There's another thing I think that can restrict us. There are many things that can restrict us from forgiving, but I only have that point and one other point about that. The other thing that came to my mind is keeping record, keeping track. God doesn't keep track. He doesn't keep record of our sins. When we've asked for forgiveness, he doesn't keep record of it to prove to us later on that you did that sin. He doesn't do that. But we have that tendency, and it restricts us from forgiving. We remember what he did to us, and so we keep that record. And back to one of Corrie Ten Boom's testimonies, these same people, these Christian people, these people that were in church with her, they offended her greatly. She was mortally offended by what they did to her. And she had it. She had proof by paper, written on paper, what they exactly did. And she kept this, she confessed, she kept this paper, this record, hidden in her drawer for several years, what these people did. And one time she was talking to one of her other friends that brought this subject up, and she mentioned that, I still have record, I have proof of what they did. And she had gotten over most of it, but she was keeping this record for some reason. And then all of a sudden she got convicted. You know what? That was ridiculous. Why am I keeping that record? And a lot of times we don't keep it on paper in ink, but we keep it back here. And we need to try to forget those things, not remember those. Don't keep record of it. You know, we have whiteout that we use when the correct word, I think it's called opaque fluid. It's magical. We can white out our mistakes that we write on paper. And then when we write over it, if you'd copy that, you can hardly tell it's been white out, it's gone. That's what we need to do with those things that come. We need to white them out so that we can't see them anymore. Don't keep record of them. Third point I have is the power to forgive. Excuse me. Jesus gives us the power to forgive in contingent of our mechanical choice. Someone said, and I quote, "Forgiveness is like love. It's not a feeling. It's a decision that ends up becoming an emotion." And then the greatest testimony that Corrie Ten Boom had, and you've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it again, of how after she was freed from prison concentration camp in Germany, she was here in the U.S., or maybe she lived in Holland, I think. I can't remember the exact details. And she was asked to come speak to a church in Holland, I believe. And so she did not want to go. She did not want to go, but she finally thought that God was asking her to go. So she went. And she spoke about forgiveness. And she spoke about all the things that, how hard it was to forgive. And she talked about the prison camp that she was at and all this stuff. And after the service, after the closing, here she sees coming back from the back this guard that had abused her and so many other women in that camp, coming up to her, and he was coming to her, and she just was weak. She didn't know how she could make it. But he boldly came up to her and said, "I was one of those bad guards, and God forgave me." And he said he wanted to hear her say, "I forgive you too." And he asked her, is that what you're saying, that you forgive me? But she did not have the power to forgive. She did not have the strength to even put her hand out. She was froze. And she was, "How can I do this? I'm so angry at this man. He did so much wrong to so many people." But finally she said, God put it in her mind. God gave her the power. He said, "I forgave you." That words came to her. So she pulled her hand out of her pocket and shook his hand, said, "I forgive you." It was a mechanical decision, but God gave her emotion and victory and came over her. And I believe that's the way it is. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. But there are times when God does it like that. And the power of forgiveness comes from Jesus. Man repenting and accepting that power in our lives gives us the grace and power to forgive other people. And we have to remember that how we forgive our trespassers is how we are forgiven in our own sins. I'd like to move on to point 4, results of forgiveness. Being forgiven and also forgiving someone brings freedom to the one who forgave and to the one who is forgiven. Just as unforgiveness brings bondage to both the offender and the offended. You don't really know, think about that. We always think it's just one-sided, but it's twofold. On both when you forgive and when you decide not to forgive, it's both parties are affected the same way. And it's hard for us to remember that. I also believe that our feelings and emotions are what makes it hard to forgive. Yet at the same time, when we do forgive, our feelings and emotions are the part of us that confirm that we have forgiven and also that we can forgive. And when we have offended our, when we've been offended, when we've been hurt, our emotions of anger and hurt are what restrict us from making the choice to forgive. They hold us back. We keep hanging on to that anger and to that emotion of hurt because it's overwhelming. And it just, sometimes we don't have the strength to overcome. And we have to take that mechanical decision, I will forgive, and do that. And I believe Jesus faced the same scenario when he died for our sins. I believe Jesus made the choice to die for our sins even while his emotions were causing him conflict. And I would like to just read four verses just to prove that point. In Matthew 26, verse 6, then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So when Christ submitted himself to face life as a man, to become like we are, he went to the cross very sorrowful, carrying the burden of the world's sins. But as God rose himself from the dead, that same power that resurrected him from the grave is the same power that works in our hearts to forgive others when we make that choice. And I don't understand all that was going on in Christ because it's too big for me, my mind, to understand fully. But I believe that in Jesus' humanity, that he had to make a mechanical decision in a certain way, even though he was God, to forgive us of our sins. As God, I think he wanted to do it. But as him humbling to be like us, I think he felt those same things that we feel when we do not want to forgive. The encouragement I want to most remind us of this morning is that having a heart and attitude to be quick to forgive will result in giving you peace and will release you from the burden of anger and anxious feelings. And the hardest offenses that we face, that you will face in your life, and that we do today, many times come from our own family and from the people we are closest to. It seems like the people that we are closest to causes the wounds to be deeper because we least expect them from our friends. But it happens because we're in a carnal world. We're in a fallen world. And I'm not saying that we should just let it happen. I'm saying that it does happen. And we have to remember that many times when we get offended from our closest friends, it's not because they are wanting to do that. And we need to remember that it's not about us. It's about the whole world. That's why it's so hard to forgive those offenses. But it's also the most important ones to let go of and make the decision to forgive. And if you want to share the love of Christ with someone, I hear people say, I would just love to bring someone to the Lord and to be able to administer love, Christ's love, into that person's life. My opinion is, and I don't say that my opinion is best, but I believe this, if you want to share Christ to someone, the best way to share Christ's love to anyone is by forgiving them. That is the supreme way to share Christ's love to people, to other people, is by forgiving them. It's a direct connection of how Christ administered his love to us. I want to also say that when it comes to forgiving people who have offended me, my own testimony, that I haven't always done so well. And but as I studied this chapter, Matthew 18 especially, you know, I recognize that I have to confess that I've been guilty, and not just in the past, in the present, in the recent past, you know, it's a struggle in my own personal life, and I know that we all struggle. And I'm just like the unjust servant did to his fellow servant. I was forgiven for much, and yet I have a hard time forgiving for little. And I want to do that better in my life, in forgiving, in loving my fellow men. So maybe Gilbert already led this song, but that song, God Forgave My Sin, it's 635. Gilbert, do you mind just leading one verse of that song, the first verse of that song, again right now? And as we sang that song kept coming to my mind, that, you know, God forgave my sin. He forgave my sin. And I should freely forgive others, freely give his love to others by showing forgiveness and compassion to other people, even if they don't deserve it or I feel they don't deserve it. Could you lead that, Gil? One more thing, I guess just want to leave with everyone here this morning. Just challenge every one of us to keep making the choices to forgive. I know we've all been forgiven and we've all have made choices to forgive, but encourage us to do it even more. And forgive even if the person that hurt us doesn't realize they have hurt us. Forgive without being asked to be forgiven. And let the injury go. Just let it go. Quit pulling the rope or the bell. Move on. Let's move on with our lives. And let's get past it. And God promises peace and comfort. The Holy Spirit will give us that. He will come and flood our hearts with that and give us freedom when we do that. So I want to just leave that with us. Encourage us today to reach out to whoever it is that you feel that way. Not necessarily in going and tell them that I forgive you, because they may not know that they hurt you, and that can cause more conflict. But if you feel hurt, if you feel like someone has treated you unfairly, ask God to help you let it go, and move on with our lives in the freedom and in the peace that he will give us when we let that go and we give it to him. I'll close with that. Maybe we'll stand for a closing word of prayer. Phil Beachy, will you lead us in a closing word of prayer?